Your memory is hazy as you try to remember what happened. It all feels like a dream, a horrible nightmare. You remember the sound of it first, the vibrations of rolling thunder roaring up from deep underground beneath your feet. The great cavity in the earth that was filled with liquid as black as night started to bubble over. You knew the name of it then, but not before. Some great magic brought the name of it back to your memory. The Wellspring. As it began to overflow, a cyclone of wind and whispers were sucked into the black liquid, phasing through the ceiling of stone. The air around you rushed into the opening with a force that pulled you off of your feet. Before you could even make sense of what was happening, a great blur of a beast erupted out of the wellspring and broke through the ceiling of the cave. A great black mass of a beast, too large in size, too great in length, and too fast to discern anything of what it was. However, you were able to see the blur of its hundreds of needle-like legs, and you remember hearing its great roar as it breached the surface. The roar was familiar to you. The call of the great Leviathan. You tried to react, but the fire rained down onto you and engulfed the room with heat and embers. The broken rocks from the cave crashed down all around you. The heavy slams of stone against heavy stone threatened your life as more and more fire poured in from above. Dust, smoke, and ash filled your vision, and soon there was only darkness. Reverend Rise, you are visited by someone. Who do you see as your savior?
Is this somebody I'm creating right now?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I haven't thought about this.
Jesus Christ.
No. Let's say it was the captain of the ship that I won on.
Okay.
Because I wasn't the captain. I was a crewmate.
What do they look like?
That's... Wow, what a question.
Take your time, describe. Are they an Ironborn like yourself?
No, I think we were a motley-looking crew.
Yeah.
Probably. Hell, I'm just going to use the other character idea that I had.
Sure.
He's a pineapple man.
A pineapple man?
Yeah.
You got to describe him more than that.
Yeah, so he's an Ectus, right? So he's got basically got plant-like body, but just his head is a pineapple, and he wears a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, he's basically just a broad-chested, giant, like, dude, big belly, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just like a larger guy, always wore an open, Hawaiian shirt.
Does he give, like, really, like, cool vibes, really, like,
yes.
Mahalo, brother, like...
Yeah, and he, like, probably has sunglasses, but, like, yeah. They don't have eyes,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
So he just, like, wears a pair of Ray-Bans.
Just a pineapple with Ray-Bans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have facial features.
Does he still have both lenses in the Ray-Bans?
No. So one of them is popped out, but in order to replace it, he just wears an eye patch underneath.
Perfect.
So it's still black underneath that pair of sunglasses.
I love that.
Yeah.
What is the emotion that you get trapped beneath all this stone, fire, ash, and debris? You see a big hand reach out to you and, like, pull you up, and you see the outline of this captain. Do they have a name?
Yeah, Captain Gold.
Captain Gold. You see Captain Gold reach and pull you out from all the heavy stone, embers, debris. What do you feel in this moment, this half-cognizant moment? Dire situation.
Mm-hmm. He probably feels like a journeyman again. Green, you know, like getting caught in something much bigger than himself, kind of lost. Everything's happening around him so fast he doesn't know which way is up, like he's tossing and turning like a baby in a giant wave. And then just that big hand grabs, lifts him up. Gives him a little pat on the back because Gold didn't say anything.
He's a quiet.
He was a very quiet guy.
Gotcha. Luca, you were visited by someone. What memories do you share with them?
As I see this person, I remember a memory that's not mine, but is. And it's clearly Plucky Patty in her pluckier days, her younger days.
Yeah.
Much younger, maybe 50 years or so ago.
You have a memory of this person more than you see this person. I think you see the outline of, like, Plucky Patty in her younger years. But then you're transported back into a memory. What memory is this that you have?
Sitting on the deck of a boat that we're building, talking about all the things we're going to do if we win.
Huh. How do you feel? What is it like outside? Sitting on this half-built ship, sweat dripping down from your brow.
It's bright. It's fulfilling. I feel happy. I feel full of joy and excitement for the future. But at the same time, I also know my species and my body, and I can tell whenever I remembered this, I also had the thought of, I won't be able to join you on this journey. By then, I'll be gone. But I don't tell her that. I want her to, in this moment, be filled with that hope that's driving her to a better future, a better place for the world.
You are sitting on this half-built ship in the sun, the green waves outstretched before you, and this woman in blue working, pounding nails into these boards, carrying great loads on her back. She's a workhorse. She's strong. She's unstoppable. And you have such admiration for it. You're thinking about how one day you won't be there to see her win. To see her succeed. You're lost in that moment. But then she laughs. That laughter brings you back to this reality. What is she laughing at?
Honestly, those days, I couldn't really tell you what she was laughing at. It was the silly, stupid things in life. The simple little things that you and your friends just laugh at. But I just remember being happy with those little moments. Because those are the things I'd hold on to, even when it wasn't me.
You feel the laughter, its meaning gone. Those things that you hope to hold on to, you feel a light shine through all parts of you, all people, pupations that you were, that still hold on to that hope. Simon. You are running down the corridors of stone and rock. The walls are collapsing around you. You saw a light and rushed towards it. You ran as hard as you could, and at the end of the tunnel stood someone with their hand outstretched for you. It was someone you just barely remember. Someone from your time as an Ardent. Who was it?
It was...
Fuck, what was her name?
Altadena.
No, but it was the nurse who took care of...
Oh, shit.
For reasons unbeknownst to you, it cannot be that person.
It's not that person. It is an Ardent woman.
What does she look like?
Very tan, very dark skinned because she's very often in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I would say dreaded hair, but that's all up right now.
Yeah.
Pirate boots. She's got them with the baggy flowy pants.
Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know. I can't remember that far back.
Gotcha.
I didn't even know this human existed until this moment.
I think a name comes to you in this moment.
Oh.
The name Tulip comes to mind. They take your hand and you remember nothing else. You are all lost in a deep sea of endless night. Your senses are wrapped in a deep numbness and your thoughts hold the weightlessness of surrender. Slowly, gently, timelessly, you feel it. The familiar sway of life. The gentle rocking of the wind against a ship at sea. Luca and Rise, you are lying on your back, moving with the waves as your sight returns to you. There is dim light pouring in through the small cracks of wooden floorboards above you. You hear the hull of the ship slowly groan and creak as the waves rock against it. You know you are back out on the wild sea. Shadows move above you. Footsteps carry them across your field of vision. There is some chatter above you, a stern and gentle voice giving commands, a gruff and distinct response. The creaking of old oak beams and the scratches of branches against the hull suddenly take your senses, and you were brought fully into this moment. You were lying in a cot made of harsh fabric, old sails turned into sheets if you had to guess. You sit up, and you find yourself in the underdecks of some great ship. It is dark, there are no windows, the only light comes from above. You have been injured, but it appears as if someone has been caring for you, nursing you back to health. Remove all marks and make a full recovery now.
Woo!
You find yourself in this space.
Oh. Okay,
great. Yeah, you guys are erasing a lot of marks.
Myers?
Yes, remove Myers as well.
Great. Remove Seth Myers.
Okay. He's gone.
Kill John Lennon.
I think, like, immediately adjusting to the moment as I wake up, I, like, curl into the smallest ball ever because the last things I remember were the room I was in collapsing, this creature coming from the floor, and then the memory of it fades, but I know all that happened, and then I felt an intense burst of joy, and now I'm here.
Yes.
And I can't recall why I was so happy a moment ago, but then my mind again just snapped back to that moment of fear, and it takes me a minute to realize, oh, I'm not in a collapsing room anymore.
Yeah. I think you feel your body is sore. You definitely feel the bruises of the stone that fell onto you, and you feel the heat of the embers that fell onto you, and you look at your fur, and you see like scorch marks, or fire definitely touched you, but it's grown back. It's healed. Like, it looks like it's been some time.
I think Rise is just going to take stock. Are we in a room?
You're in a room. No windows,
no windows.
Light shining in through the floorboards right. Above you. You look around and you see lots of barrels. Uh-huh. You see that there's another cot next to you that is uh-huh. empty.
Okay.
You see that there is a lot of fresh bed sheets and rags that look laundered. Actually, there's not just one cot. There are two other cots that have been vacated.
Okay.
What
does the door look like?
The door is across from you and it is closed. And it's just a normal wooden door.
Okay.
Very plain looking room. This looks, okay. If you having been on a ship before.
Storage.
This is actually medical bay.
Oh, med bay.
Yeah, a little nicer than storage.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay.
So it's the first noise I make is I do. I take a minute and look at it. Reverend? Dude, weren't we like dead a second ago? Where's Corman?
Dead now. Who?
You know, the fish dude.
Venek.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Hold on.
And he's probably gonna, like, press on the walls and just like, see how sturdy everything is.
You take your G.I. Joe hands and the plastic clinks against the wood.
Tink, tink.
And it all feels normal. It's not a dream. Okay. This is all real.
Huh. Well, we've been... saved? Is my guess.
I like look at my arm for a second, just ow, and I like poke the bandage. Just, you know how sometimes if you hit, just ow, ow.
Okay, so that part also real.
Yeah, feels real.
Ow. Right.
This isn't Morka.
No, this is...
Can I listen to, like, can I make out any of the words coming from above the ship?
Go ahead and give me a roll. Build a pool. First roll of the second.
Let's build a pool. Let's do Sense and Tide.
Sense and Tide sounds good.
Great. Okay. That's a failure.
That's 2 threes and a 1.
2 threes.
Starting off strong. It is a twist, though. You are listening to the floors above you, because that's where it sounds like the most commotion is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You hear footsteps. The harder you listen, actually, you start to kind of hear more clanking than like wooden tippy taps.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like this ship isn't completely oak. This isn't a completely wooden ship. The floorboards above you are made of wood, but you start to hear like the sounds of metal against branches and people moving great heavy things. That so much of the din of it, you can't really hear voices anymore. In fact, the creaks become a little bit louder and a little bit more intimidating. You are truly lost in where you're at. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
What is the twist? So, with a twist, for players just listening, I know we've been focusing mostly on Ryze, Sybin, and Luca here, but we do have a new fourth player that we're going to introduce in just a moment.
What?
This new fourth player is going to be Anna Brown. Say hello.
Hello.
So, Anna, you're new to this game. We brought you on. Long-time fan. You've been a part of the Waffle House. You know all this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a twist here, whenever somebody rolls doubles, the rest of the table gets to decide what happens in this. Like a new, brand new, like, new thing that can benefit the scene, that can benefit them, or adds a narrative color to the scene. So all of us, except for Dylan, get to decide that. So now is the time where we all kind of say, like, all right, what happens in addition to Ryze not knowing anything about the situation that he's currently in? Does anybody have any suggestions?
As he's trying to figure out what's going on, a whisper, like, falls through, like, the opening the light's shining through and comes into Ryze, like a new whisper.
Okay. Yeah, you get a whisper.
Cool.
I like that a lot.
I'll take a whisper. I just lost online.
Yeah, you did. I think this whisper drifts in as you're listening, and I think you hear this whisper and nothing else. It is going to be a great ship. A ship like no other ship.
Cool.
Excellent. As you're listening to this, you hear, you watch Reverend Ryze listening to the sounds, and then you hear a gentle knock come from the door. It opens, and through the door frame, you see the shape of an old friend. Sybin, when you awoke, you were on the deck of the ship, lying against the floorboards, your body tucked defensively into its shell.
Oh.
You saw a fire. You felt the heat of it on your body. Embers brushed against the fungus on your flesh, and you felt the growth there melt away under the heat. You reacted. How did you react? What would be your reaction to that?
He would try to dive deeper than the fire was, wherever that was. And if he couldn't, he would go completely into his shell, which still might do a lot of damage to him.
Right.
He is very, very fire is a problem.
Why? You're just made up of a bunch of wood.
Correct.
You're completely tucked into your shell. You've been moved. You still feel a semblance of heat around you, but not as intense. You're laying on the deck of a ship. You feel floorboards beneath you, but you still don't know if it's safe. And you hear a voice rings out from the outside of your shell. Sailor, we cannot help you if you do not let us. The voice is stern and commanding. The voice of a woman.
Come on, Theodore. Let us in.
Another voice says, a voice that stirs something within you.
What do these people smell like? I have a pheromonal nose, so I can smell as well as I see.
These people smell like the waves. They smell like deep sea explorers.
Okay, then the cloister of my shell will tiny crack and a very fungal, ardent face will pop out.
You open your shell just a little bit and peer out from your space of safety. Against the mast made of reinforced oak and steel, you see the sky is filled with a tangle of branches and leaves. From between the gaps, between the growth, you can just make out the light of morning. You hear the scurrying of small animals through the verdant sea, curiously looking on above you before moving away before they are caught. You see no fire, and you see no more stone. You are once again in the expanse beneath the waves of the wild sea once more. What do you do?
The cloister will start opening. The legs will unfurl from it. So then he'll get up to his full height of like 7 feet.
Yeah, your chicken legs unfurl.
Little chicken legs unfurl.
Oh, he's got backwards knees. It's not good.
It's not great to look at.
It's our little nightmare.
You open further and you see a crew standing all around you. A variety of faces and bloodlines are all looking at you. One stands out amongst them as the captain. She's an ardent with black hair, olive skin, and piercing green eyes. She wears a blue cotton shirt that clings tightly to her frame. You see hanging from her black leather belt a sword sheathed in leather. You open your shell further and you see the rest of the ship, clean and orderly. It is a classically designed vessel, one that you would normally see made of strong oak and wood. But all of the wooden architecture of the ship has been replaced with scraps of solid steel, or at the very least, reinforced with it. Above and around the ship, there seems to be some sort of invisible barrier protecting the decks and the masts. Branches and leaves are all bunched up, pressed against some unseen force in a way that reminds you of glass. But the strangest feature of them all that catches your immediate attention is of the crew that surrounds you. The bottoms of their legs all fade away into mist. You are surrounded by a crew of anchored people. In Wild Sea, anchored is a bloodline, or a, not a blood, an origin.
Origin. An origin, that's right.
In this origin, these are people, sailors, who have passed on, but their soul still roams the Wild Sea. So these are, this is a ghost crew. People who have lost their lives, but still roam the Wild Sea. All the crew here are anchored. The captain stands out and watches you carefully. She's looking up at you. You are taller than her by 3 feet, easily. But she looks up to you, courageous and brave, and says, "That's better, Theodore. Thank you. My name is Captain Natasha Lewitt. You can call me Captain Tash."
"Nice to meet you. How do you know that name?"
You were saved by Tulip. She spoke of you.
I start looking or smelling around for Tulip without moving my head.
You see the captain, who is very familiar with Gao, kind of like do that and goes like, "She's passed on. That was her last thing that she needed to do, was to save you. She's no longer anchored to this world."
"May she find peace."
And you see a lot of the crew kind of bow their heads as they say that. She says, "We found you. There was a storm that appeared on the sea. We went to it, suspecting it was trouble from the race. And we found you and 4 others.
4 others. Where are they?"
"They are healing. They were badly injured. There was a cave-in from the cave that you were in. Do you remember that?"
"Vaguely."
You see memories of what you were exploring. They come back to you as just kind of like this very haunting hall, like a graveyard almost. But then the fire immediately takes over your brain and you snap back.
Instinctively start to close and then go back out.
She says, "You're safe now and your friends are safe as well. They are all healing. They will need to take time to heal."
"Mm-hmm.
Are you okay?"
Just like chips. Burns. The most beat up shell of a creature you've ever seen.
"Yeah.
I'm fine."
"That's good. You are aboard my vessel, Theodore. I am the captain of the Helvetica."
Start looking around for fire.
You see none. You start to kind of click together like, oh, the metal. I get it. Like, this is a fireproof ship. But that invisible barrier around you just kind of like, what is that about? And you kind of look on edges of it and you start to see like little blue wisps, like kind of like, they're not manifesting into flame, but you kind of see like stripes and streaks, kind of like the auroras in the north. Like, yeah, you see that kind of around it.
Is the fire false on your ship?
She smiles and says, fire is what the people who don't understand call it. It is something that you and I will never understand what it is. You are safe here. It will not hurt you. I promise you that.
I believe you.
Good. You are welcome to stay on this ship as long as you like. And we can take you back to your ship.
The Morka needs to feed.
The Morka.
Just Morka.
We will find them. But I advise you stay with us until your friends are healed.
I can expedite that process.
And, like, tentacles start to come out because he has the tentacle, like, ability to grab multiple things.
I think as you kind of, like, your tendrils kind of go out, you feel that a lot of them were burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not working to their fullest potential. And as you let them out, like, you feel weak all of a sudden. And I think you kind of, like, you
start getting a little woozy.
Yes. People run up to catch you and say, please rest. Let us heal you.
Hmm. Okay.
You are guests on our ship. There is no need for you to be a crew here. Please get the rest that you need. Relax.
I can help.
I'm sure you can, but our crew can handle it.
Looking around at the hardened crew.
Good night.
And then cloisters.
Pistachio closes up and falls to the ground. You're lifted up and carried away into some chamber where there's a cot for you and people start tending to you. Some time passes on the ship. Luca, Rise, and Eve all seem to be recovering really well, albeit slowly. The longer that you stay on the ship, the more you familiarize yourself with the lifestyle of those aboard the Helvetica. The crew navigates primarily beneath the waves, seeking to stay hidden deep beneath the thrash rather than out in the open. And because of this, you become wildly disoriented only after a few days. In the few instances where the ship does breach the surface, you are ordered to remain below deck. In those instances, the anchored crew of the Helvetica is called to topside, leaving you alone with your incapacitated friends and one other guest. You're sitting in the mess deck of one of these instances where the ship has breached surface. The hull around you bucks and sways as the ship moves through the sea at a quick pace. You can imagine the large tangles of branches and thick knots of trees being chewed up by the rippers of the ship. You are alone. Maybe for the first time, maybe again after some other times. With the only other conscious, non-anchored crew member on this ship. Anna, could you please describe your character for me? But don't tell us your name yet. Just introductions are still needed.
Sure. Is she like... she's waking up or is awake? Or
I think you have been a long-time passenger on this ship for a while now. And you've made yourself very comfortable here. In one of these instances where the crew is topside, the ship is breached, you've been told in this instance, just stay below deck in the mess hall. And so now you're here in the mess hall, very standard, very custom. You're very accustomed to this. What are you doing in your free time when this happens?
Remind me what a mess hall is.
A mess hall is...
cafeteria, basically.
Yes. Yes, the cafeteria of the ship. So lots of tables here. There's some, like, barrels of ale and some water, some fruit here. But mostly tables, just the recreational space of the ship.
Gotcha. Okay. I think that... So, you see a 19-year-old ardent, quite young-faced, messy bangs, long hair that's all braided up into one long piece. She has her probably abnormally large bag next to her that might be a little surprising that she can carry based on her size. And she is simply writing in her book and just looking around.
What does your bag look like? What is it made up of? Like,
yeah.
What's the fabric of the bag?
So the bag is pretty ragged, very much homemade, and sewn together pieces of, like, animal hide, basically.
Okay. And the book itself, is it made of the same kind of hide material, or is it something different?
The book itself is also very rudimentary.
Okay.
Kind of looks like just grabbed whatever she could find and folded it up
together. Sewed it all together, folded it up. It's kind of loose. Like
a little bit loose leaf.
I love that. Okay, gotcha. And is this kind of like custom for you? Is this what you're normally doing when all hands up deck when we breach? You just kind of put, like, in your journal, like, noting?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at least in terms of the people on the Helvetica, it doesn't sound like there's too many other people like me.
I think this is one of the instances, a few instances, where there is another person who isn't anchored, who has feet, basically.
Right. So anytime that they breach, everybody goes upstairs.
All the people without feet go upstairs.
Right.
All the people with feet, they stay downstairs.
Yeah. So she's kind of probably been alone.
Yes.
Anytime this happens. Okay. And so she's, you know, kicking her feet on the edge of the bench. And there is a animal sleeping at her feet as well.
What kind of animal? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a large, fluffy beast with metal claws and a little snoot like a bear. But it has giant ram horns that curl off of its head.
So cute.
And the size discrepancy between you and it. Are you guys both about the same size, or how big is it compared to you?
I think it's definitely bigger than her.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks like she could ride it.
Okay. So maybe like twice her size?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Think a mixture of a bear and a goat.
Gotcha.
A boat.
You'd be surprised.
You see in the mess hall, like, It's wide, but still kind of think like it's below deck. The ceilings are a little bit shorter. I think with you being 7 foot tall, I think you are like to have to crouch as you walk around here. Very comfortable for you, but, your pet, your animal fills up a lot of the space next to you. Like, that would be a walking path that is kind of laying in, but it's completely filled up. People have to go around the tables in order to get by. I'm going to say that this is like the first time that we've breached the surface, and so this is the first time you two are together in the room. And so you see this character kicking their feet off the side, journaling away. Are you humming a tune?
Yeah, for sure.
You see this, the only other conscious person on board the ship.
I will, like, head to the back of the mess hall to grab a fruit.
Yeah.
Because you gotta stay healthy.
Sure.
And, like, he'll have it in tentacles that will then go into his, like, petrified human hands and start to slowly decay and then disappear into his body.
You're gross.
He's eating.
Eat with your mouth closed.
Cloister up.
Yeah, we don't want to see that.
But he's not disturbing you, but he'll probably look to the animal to see, like, can we be friends?
Could you describe your character once over? It's been a while since
we've been. Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah. So it is a gao, which is the fungal people.
Yeah.
It started off as an ardent that was infested by a fungus.
Yes.
And then the fungus started to grow essentially other parts around it. Like, there's anemone arms that come out of it. It has little, like, chicken legs because it fully adapted to swim under the waves. And that helps you jump off branches. It has basically a petrified ardent in the middle of it that doesn't move so much anymore.
What does your face look like? Is it still like an ardent face?
It's an ardent face that fungal growths have gone over.
Okay.
So it's almost entirely like pale white at this point with fungal growth.
Gotcha.
But you can tell it was once an ardent, and there's like fungi growing up and out of it
And the shell itself.
Is like, think like the Pokemon Cloyster, where you just have that giant bark shell around it. I mean, and it closes when it is defensive.
Gotcha. So I kind of imagine like Sybin is the muscle, like in a clam.
Yeah, it's a lot like, now that I'm thinking about it, the aliens from Independence Day, if you've seen it. Like,
oh no.
They're the giant walker things that also have the cloister that can close up.
I've got to do a Google search of this.
See, when you said like an ardent face with a fungal, like a fungal growth on it. I thought like Clicker from The Last of Us.
Kind
of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The fungal on it. It
don't isn't be scared.
Quite, it isn't quite that inhuman.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But there are growths coming out.
Does your voice come from the Ardent's mouth?
No, you don't know where my voice comes from. Okay. The Ardent doesn't move so much.
So, you walk up, you're trying to make friends with the animal by offering just...
Are they like smoked meats? That animal looks like a meat eater to me.
You see this presence walk up and try to interact with your pet.
Oh no, it'll be a very long range anemone arm trying to hold out to the pet. I don't want to disturb it, and she looks like she's having a great time journaling.
I think that she catches it in the corner of her eye.
He not stealthy.
And follows it with her eyes just all the way over to you.
And like this, like a cloistered thing, just it does like a tilt to be like,
And I think her eyes immediately light up and she slams the book closed, puts it to the side of her, and then just like scuttles off of the bench and comes up to you. And it's like, oh, hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
I am Sybin. Who are you?
My name is Star.
Star, that's a beautiful name.
Thanks, that's what my daddy calls me.
Oh.
People on the ship here sometimes call me, hey, stop, quiet. But that's just here on the Helvetica.
I didn't. No, they don't. They're very nice to you. Why would you say
Joe,
that?
Joe, the story is ours as much as it is
you're
yours.
You're right. You're right.
People call my friend Luca those names, too. What brings you on this ship?
What are you?
That is a very complicated question. I am a collection of organisms.
Yeah, I see one of them in the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
That's you.
Well, all of this
you ain't you?
No, all of me is me.
Oh. Does this happen when you get older?
No, not to you.
Oh.
Well, it could. But I spent a long time below the waves.
Huh. Okay. I've only been under a mountain.
Under a mountain?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was below the waves at one point, and then they saved me, but it's hot down there.
Wait, were you in the explosion thing?
No, I don't think so.
So you lived in a mountain, and this is your first time on the sea?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, my uncle told me I needed to ride a boat, so I got on a boat and we jumped in, but guess that's not what he meant.
At the mention of boat, you see the animal kind of like lift its head up and kind of like climb up on its goins, big yawn, and just kind of slumber over to you and fall back down at your feet.
She gets on top of him and starts petting the top of his head. There's a boat.
That's boat?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought this was boat.
And it's like tentacle touches the roof.
Wow, you can reach real far.
Oh. Yes.
How far do you think you reach? Have you tried? Try to reach all the way on the other side of the room.
Okay.
And I'll go, I guess, instinct?
I don't think it's even a roll. I just think it just does. Just how fast does it do? Is it like a whip or do you do it really slow?
He's not trying to go for speed. So probably.
Oh, yeah. You just see just kind of like a tape measure. It just keeps going. You don't know where it's coming from. It's from within the shell, and it just all the way to the end bunches up and then just comes back very quiet.
No. Go back around. Let's keep going.
Oh.
What okay. The Looney Tunes are we doing?
And he'll keep trying to see how long it goes. How long am I?
This is going to be careful what number you
I know. There was a moment. There was a moment in earlier in the season where you tried to phase through Morka.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is one of those moments where I say, no, you're done.
You're done.
That's about it.
And it, Sybin, something you have to know about Sybin, very much a creature of survival, doesn't move very fast until he has to, and then it's horrifying.
So this has all been very, very slow.
Very slow movements.
Yeah.
Very slow speech. He don't got nowhere to be.
That's perfect for her.
So what is it you do under the mountain?
Yeah, well, I live there with my family, my dad. He looked after me until I found my uncle. But yeah, no, I was riding boat here, going through the tunnels, you know, exchanging messages from one side of the tunnel to the other side of the tunnel.
A messenger.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I was, they told me I'm a word bearer, I guess. I mean, they asked me what I was and what I did on a boat, and I ride boat, and I take messages from one side to another side. So I told them that, and they were like, oh, you're a word bearer. And I'm like, okay, I guess so.
Sivan, I think you know, because of, like, the positions on the sea, like, part of the book, everybody has a position on the ship. Like, in your case, you are a... What is your role on the ship? What is your crew position?
Thorn?
Yeah, you're the collection of drugs. That's right.
Correct. I forgot. I am a pharmacy.
Yes. So you, like, you know that your position, like, is to, like, host all these things. That's what you bring to your ship. For a word bearer, that's a very important, like, worldly kind of person. Because a word bearer, what they do, they take messages from one settlement to the next. They cross the sea to share information for people across long distances. They also preserve that kind of information. Like, they are the preservers of words, of the written language. Whispers, you catch them, they go, they release. But a word bearer is the, like, the known, tried, and true way of, like, this is history as it is in some ways. So to hear that they were a word bearer in a mountain is a little strange.
I believe that is a valuable thing out here.
Yeah, so I've been told it's pretty exciting. I got asked, though, because one of the things I'm bearing, I guess, words. What's your wish?
What's my wish?
Yeah. So you got this book here, and then she goes back over to where her book was, and she, like, brings it up to you and opens it up, and you just see, like, scribbled, kind of like a crayon-esque, just a bunch of, like, names and then, like, a sentence afterwards. Like, Joey dash.
What?
Well, what's your wish, Joey?
Keep me out of this game.
Get me out of this game.
Get me out of this game, says the man running the game.
So what's your wish?
Oh, I have put no thought into that. Right now, it's just to help my friends get their wishes.
That's a great wish. That's my wish.
That's your wish.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I just want to, you know, get everybody's wish across the line, you know? So it's like...
Don't you have a wish of your own?
Yeah, to help everybody else with their wish. Just like your wish.
We're not so different, you and I.
You feel the ship start to, like, traverse underneath the waves. The ground shifts underneath your feet. Gravity becomes unaligned for a minute, but you catch yourselves really quick.
I just tentacles to every corner so I don't move. I'm like a gyroscope.
Star's just riding on a boat.
Yeah, I think boat, still fast asleep, just kind of lifts himself up. You're just staying right there and then just kind of evens out as it goes. You hear some footsteps coming down below deck saying, like, all clear to come back up.
So did you ever wonder why they don't let you up when they surface?
Yeah, I've asked. I think it's because I'm not, like, damn, I got legs. You got legs. That's probably why.
Legs again.
Well, you don't like legs?
No. People think my legs are weird.
I mean, they're different than what I've seen before, but I haven't seen a lot of things out here, so...
You were very kind.
Aw, shucks. Thanks. You seem nice.
I try.
Oh, yeah, I gotta write your wish down. And then she, like, scribbles it down.
Well...
Oh, what's your name? Do I know your name?
Sivan.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, once I'm healed, if you need any...
Are you okay?
Medicine.
You okay?
What?
You okay?
Oh... No. I'm very burnt.
Oh.
Not good.
Hmm.
When you're made of organic material, fire is bad. Rice would probably be fine.
She kind of, like, nods her head a little bit, like, thinking, looking off a little bit, and is just like, it's not that bad. I mean, you just gotta be careful with it, you know?
No. That is very wrong.
What?
There is no careful with fire.
Yeah, there is.
Fire spreads. Fire burns.
I mean, depends on what
fire kills.
I don't know about that.
I know about that. Every instinct in me tells me fire.
Stark, could you give me your first roll? Could you give me some sort of like...
fire kills.
Intuitive, monster. Like reading, trying to read Sivan and his inflections.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this as a cut because we've talked about your character a little bit. Just because your character is so new to outside interactions, I think that trying to do like a an insight check on Sivan will be new to you. Mm-hmm. But I want you to make this roll to see if you catch it.
Okay.
So we get to build a pool for the very first time.
Yee!
So we're going to choose one edge, and then you get to choose either a skill or a language to do this.
Okay. So I'm trying to read the room.
You're trying to read Sivan.
Got trying to read Sivan. Okay. That's easy.
You know, the dead-faced character.
Yeah. I would like to use the edge instinct, because it specifically says connect with the weirder elements of the waves.
Perfect.
He seems a little odd.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And then aspect, you said?
Going to be a skill or a language.
Let's see. Yeah, so instinct and I would say sway.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot.
Making friends.
Go ahead. So you're going to take the total of that. So it's going to be one from your edge. And then how much skill do you have in sway?
Two.
So you're going to make a pool of three. And you're going to roll three dice.
Okay.
And then we're going to cut the highest one.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll.
Highest.
Six, a five, and a three. So we're going to cut the six, which would have been a success.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with the five, mm-hmm. which is a mixed success.
Mixed success.
Or a conflict. And so with this, I think, because I've asked you to do this, I see, as you're talking about fire with Sivan,
mm-hmm.
And as he's getting very nervous about like the mention of like, there is no being careful with fire. I know, I'm made of organic material. You get a sense that even the mention, even the thought of that kind of like material is something that like can make a sailor very nervous. And I don't think you're used to this interaction. Like you've mm-hmm. never seen you've never brought up something that has caused such a visceral reaction into another person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think with that, you know that you are socially treading into like very like dangerous territory.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because it is a conflict, I don't think you know to stop.
That sounds like her.
I think the thought of it makes you very curious mm-hmm. as to like, why is this man afraid of fire?
Yeah.
I think kind of tapping into a little bit of your curiosity with fire,
mm-hmm.
one of your Myers specifically. I think.
Oh no!
I think you want to push the envelope on that.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're talking about like fire being bad. What happened to you?
I mean, just recently,
and like little like burns all across the arm of.
Wow. Huh.
Sivan, I will warn you: the longer that you are in this conversation, the more likely a Meyer will pop up.
Yeah. Huh.
Yep. Just keeping that in mind for you.
Wow. You know, that looks like when I put some of that.
What are you about to equate burns to?
Some of those glow mushrooms under the mountain when I, you know, like I said, we don't like fire isn't that common for me. But sometimes I would put one of those mushrooms in there. And it's pretty cool. Watch it like it, you know, kind of like cinders up and everything.
You put a mushroom in fire.
So anyway, I'm
so he's gonna start standing up. Go on.
Go ahead and give me a roll to prevent a Meyer from popping off right now.
Popping off. Get wrecked.
Just stealing dice from Sam.
Yeah, no, cool. Yeah, just take them.
We're gonna do
this.
Gonna do iron.
Do iron.
And then brace, I guess.
Okay, yeah, brace. How much is that? What's the pool?
Three.
Okay.
Two fours.
Three and two fours.
That's three.
So this is going to be a conflict.
Thanks, Sam.
With a twist.
With a twist. I don't think you're able to get away without a Meyer being popped off. You are able to remove yourself from this situation. I think your body instinctively tells you, the conversation's done, we need to walk away. And you do that. I think your tendrils come back in as this little one is talking. I think you do something that you don't normally do, which is just about face and leave the conversation. But
she follows if she can.
Oh no.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Just a stone.
Okay, we're on the move. Hey, Boat, can you grab my bag?
Oh, if you follow, then actually, I don't think a mire pops off. I think instinctually...
Suicide.
Oh my god. Listen, I...
No! No!
I think you need to stop the source of your pain. I think this will be like an instinctive react.
Yeah, this attack. Would be a spore sax, I think.
Yeah.
It's gonna obscure so I can leave.
Yes. I love that. That's what happens. As you do the turnabout face, this perceived threat continues to follow you. You're walking, trying to catch up, like, wait, yeah, I did do this. And then spores just in your face. You're blinded for a minute. You can't see anything. You go to breathe in. Spores fill your mouth. It's vile tasting. It doesn't feel good. Suddenly there's a tingling sensation, like an allergic reaction, and it gets pins and needles in your mouth all of a sudden. It's bad. It doesn't feel good. I think you're stopped in your tracks immediately. I am going to give you one harm. Mm. So
you're sorry.
One of your aspects.
Sorry, I just mouthed. How fucking dare you.
He inked.
He inked.
Oh, you made me ink.
You're going to take one of your aspects, and then you're going to reduce its value by one. So all those tracks, I see you filled them all up. You made the rookie mistake.
Yeah, you want to keep them. So the best way to do it is to keep them open, and then wherever your track ends, put a line.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or you can even put the number on the very far right side of that track, so you know how many you can fill up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because to fill up a track means to, it's been used. And so we want to keep those open.
You're
dead.
Yeah.
You've died.
Once all your aspects filled up, your character is essentially like ready for death.
Oh, no.
Narratively.
You just killed her, Will.
I'm more than halfway there.
I thought you healed.
Nope.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, we're fine.
We're fine.
This is all before we woke up, yeah. So we're still in
meeting. Yeah.
You didn't say that you were a mushroom, right?
He... Did you? I think you might have.
I don't think he...
I don't know if you outright did. I think you alluded to...
That you were a fungus. Like, you had fungi growing off.
You were just kind of like...
I can't be responsible for what came out of my mouth.
You were really just like, I am me...
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Okay, just make sure that I didn't misremember that, because, you know, she wouldn't.
Even if you did, though, I think that's still on the right track.
Yeah, okay.
So you're going to mark any one of your aspects. You get to choose. It's basically your health. You get to choose which one that you would like to do. So what I consider this is that what aspect do you find most valuable? You probably don't want to mark that one.
Right.
Because you're going to have less charges on that.
Yes.
But in Dylan's case, he's got two aspects that are just like, I'm big, which are just number slots in him to take damage on. Because he's tanky tank.
Big boy.
So if you've got aspects like that, then those get marked up first.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I know what one.
Perfect.
Do I have to say it?
If you'd like.
Okay.
I'm curious.
I am going to take one mark under rightful owner.
Okay. Cool. Listeners in the show, you can look that up. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll look it up later. I don't know what it is.
I can tell you what it is. I wrote it down.
I don't want to know.
It's cool. We all know what it is.
Yeah, everybody but Joe knows.
Everyone here read it.
You walk away. You're caught in the spore cloud. Mm-hmm. I think.
It's coffin.
And then we have a twist.
Oh, yeah. What's the twist?
I was going to say, Boat is watching this all happen, and as that happens, his eyes narrow towards you, and up in the corner, like a Telltale game, says, Boat will remember this.
Yes!
Good luck seeing me through the spores, Boat!
Boat's not going to forget what Sivan did to Star.
I love that. Protective Boat.
All right, I'm going to make a two-mark track saying, Boat will remember this. Dash, Sivan.
I got to kill Boat now?
Boat will remember this dash Sivan, which means it could happen to any of us.
That one will be marked. Perfect. Boat remembers this. I love that twist. Great twist, Sam. This social interaction ends, and the boat kind of goes back to normal. You both go off.
Just Boat.
Ways. We really nailed that social interaction.
I know,
so
we're
normal,
best friends.
Both of us.
Mm-hmm. More time passes. Sivan, you heal up to your full health.
Oh, thank God.
The crew continues to reassure you that your friends will recover soon. In this time, though, you notice something odd.
Uh-oh.
After another surface breaching, you return to the topside of the ship after the excursion and see that the Helvetica has rescued another survivor, a Gao. They look mortally wounded. The crew rushes this survivor down to the belly of the ship to tend to them immediately. They don't take them to the medical bay where your friends are. In fact, there is no sign of the survivor for some time after their rescue. 3 days pass before you see the rescued Gao walking amongst the crew, good as new. His wounds are gone, and there is no trace of ever having been hurt in the first place. However, his legs fade away into mist, just like the rest of the crew aboard the Helvetica. His body has passed, and he has become an anchored aboard the ship. Not long after this, Captain Tash informs you that one of your friends is healthy enough to see you again. The rest will be making a recovery shortly. Eve is sitting with Star.
Eve.
Talking together. Where are you guys sitting? It could be anywhere on the ship. Where would you want to be?
As high as we can to see what we can.
You and Eve are sitting on the, like, the crow's nest of the mast. I think you are, like, the tallest mast of the ship. I think you got the idea of, like, let's go up there together. Because this is also, like, the first woman ardent on the ship that you've come across that is not the captain, that is not part of the crew.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think she gets really giddy. I think you guys have a very giddy interaction of just kind of like, let's go somewhere, please.
Yeah.
And I think you guys go to the crow's nest, and I think you're sitting there. You've been told that Eve is out and walking about, and you kind of look for her. You're getting the sniffs of it, but I think more than like the scent of her, I think you get this sense. Something that happens when people ingest your spores.
Mm.
They are now a part of your network. And so rather than like sensing Eve, you start to feel that the spores are really like taking a hold inside of her.
Oh no.
And you are able just to kind of know where she is. And so I think you find yourself going up to the crow's nest and popping up with Eve. You guys are there. What are we talking about? Eve is this woman. She's older than you. I think comparatively, she looks like an adult compared to you. She's probably the first female adult that you've ever met. But she's also kind of wearing, I think at this point, the crew has kind of given her like cotton clothes with like cotton pants that has been dyed. I think like this deep indigo. And she's wearing like these black pants. Her hair is
like raven black or something, right?
Yeah, she had black hair. She looks like a fighter. She looks strong. But she's sitting with you cross-legged in the mast. The crow's nest is above you. Guys are huddled up here.
Mm-hmm.
The trees above you are again pushed against that big invisible dome. And you see like squirrels skittering around in the thrash, kind of like trying to jump in, but they keep getting like bumping against this invisible force field, falling off and then grabbing onto the thing. I think you guys are having a really good time laughing about that.
Does she have scars?
She does not. She doesn't have any scars. I think her skin is actually rather pale. Mm. She's, yeah, paper white.
Mm.
And she's like sitting with you, talking with you, and just kind of like, you come from mountains?
Yeah.
I've only been into a mountain once. And I didn't like it. That's how I got here.
Oh, you had a bad time in a mountain?
I did have a very bad time in the mountain, but I'm sure I'll have better times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the mountain's pretty cozy, you know?
Yeah. You know, for the moments that I was there, it felt very much at home. I felt like it was very nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Renan, we're gonna win the race.
You want to be part of the race as well?
Yeah.
Oh, and you see that she kind of gets really dejected about that, and is like, "Well, why would you want that?"
She's starting to get the sense that maybe she's not supposed to.
I think in this moment you get like this call from, where's the mask currently?
In her attached to her bag. Like hanging off of her bag.
And what does it look like? I think attached to this bag, there's this, what is this mask?
Yeah, it's a wooden carved mask, painted green.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of like longer Very like, yeah.
What is the expression of the mask? Does it have like a face hole in the eyes?
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is it like a grin? Is it like a stoic, like tribal mask-esque? Is it like the Green Goblin mask?
No, it's not quite that detailed, I suppose.
Okay.
It has like really big eyebrows.
Okay.
And very sharp, chiseled jawline and a chin that like comes very far out.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like polished and smooth or is it like rougher?
It's like carved out of wood. Yeah. Gotcha. Doesn't have necessarily a lot of like cuts into it, mm-hmm. but it's more like a puppet you would carve.
I understand.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you can see the chisel marks on it.
Okay. I think as you're talking about like the race and Eve kind of accepts, like, why would you want to be a part of it? This mask, you kind of get like, you just hear it kind of like, I think there's a distinctive sound, kind of like a wooden wind chime of it just kind of like batting against like the stick that it's held against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what that means. Like there's this just kind of like there's a judgment being passed right now.
Yeah.
You catch that.
Uh-huh. She definitely takes in that and kind of re-fortifies into her reasoning and her belief of like, yes, I am going to win the race.
Well, that's... Well...
But, I mean, it's a good thing, though, because I'm going to bring with me all the wishes of everybody that I meet. So if you have a wish, I'd be happy to write it down for you.
I don't think I have any wishes right now.
None at all? You don't want anything?
I haven't told you yet. I think it's important that you know, but I was made by the Wishmakers. From
what's that?
That you don't know who the Wishmakers are?
No.
But you want to be a part of the race?
Yeah. Cause my uncle told me that when you win, it grants wishes.
Oh, sweet girl.
What?
That is true. There is a race that is happening that when you win this race, you do get a wish.
Yeah.
But there are people who are in charge of this race who grant those wishes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't really know how they happen.
And that's the Wishmakers.
Oh, okay.
And I was created by them to sabotage this race.
Oh. What? Why?
I think at this point, Sivan comes up to the mast. You hear the feet. And Eve continues, because they don't want anybody to win this race. They haven't wanted people to win this race for a long time now. They're trying to prey on those with hope. People have a really hard time living on the wild sea. It's not easy.
Yeah, that's what the wishes are for.
And that's what people hold their wishes for. And that's why people join the race, is because they want a better lives for themselves and others. But the Wishmakers have all that power. And they know that. They know that's the power that they hold over people. And that's why this race exists, for that reason. And it's just, yeah, I don't, and you see Eve just kind of put her hands like against her temples and just kind of go like, I don't want to ruin it. I think hope is a really good thing that you should hold on to, but I think you've just got to be really careful about what you want, you know? Like, if you want a wish, like, why do you have to do something for it? Why do you have to give it to somebody else to make true? Like, why can't? And I think she sees you, Sivan, and goes, Sivan, oh my God.
I'm glad to see you're okay.
She stands up and she kind of like wraps her arms around you.
Says, like the arms out of the armor wrap around her, the mobile ones, and then tentacles.
And I think she has such a trust in you to kind of hold, because I still think like you're on the ladder climbing up to the crow's nest that she
I think I can tentacles around to like rigging up there.
And she trusts you enough to do that she leaps into you, like almost pushes you off the stairs, but she trusts that you can like catch her. And so you do, and you do exactly that. You wrap on, and so there's a moment where you guys are just suspended above the ship. Of yes, and your arms are wrapped around her, and her arms are wrapped around you. It says, "What happened? Where did you go? Why did you leave me like that?"
"I didn't leave you. I fell very far into the darkness."
Can Star also run off and try to get caught?
Hell yes.
Make a roll for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think she saw that happen. Yeah. And was like, "Oh, that was that fun."
Simon misses this. Boat will remember this.
Yeah, you see Bone at the bottom of the mast just going like, "She better not die.
She better not die.
She better not die."
Yeah, go ahead and make a roll to leap into the arms of this fungus man.
Yep. She's going to use her grace.
Grace?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Do a backflip.
Yay!
Go for it.
And? Can? Okay.
Yes. This is the best part of the game. Negotiating, yeah.
Yeah. Go study. Aim high. Aim high.
Study.
Yes.
Why study?
Watched her do it.
All right. Sounds good to me. Nailed it. Love it. All right. What's that pool?
Sick.
That there's
it's awesome. Two.
It's a two pool. It's still two. All right. Hey, let's do it. Come on. Six is it. This is what dreams are built on, man.
Yeah. You know, I believe in yourself. That's what her mission is.
That's it. That's two threes.
Ruh-roh.
So that is a failure.
Oh, shit.
With a twist.
Ayo.
You get so excited that just like, "Wow, that looks like fun." I think because they're in such like an intimate moment, they're just like, "Oh, so good to see you." Like, they don't see you. It's very much like a Disney moment. We're just like, "It's so good to see you." And then you just see the dog kind of like flash by the screen like, "No." And you go like, "Catch me." You just fling yourself off the crow's nest. You are now plummeting.
Can I?
Hold on. There's a twist.
Rest. Oh, okay. There's a twist.
What is the twist?
I mean, you can suggest what you're going to ask. It's a twist.
Dog's going to remember this. No matter how this turns out.
Is that the boat twist? Will remember.
Boat will remember this.
Can't take more damage. We haven't started.
Hey, what a great start.
A very classic start. You fall into rigging, fall onto ropes and sheets.
Gotcha. You do get stuck in the rigging, maybe. Gotcha. Sam, do you got something?
You get stuck in the rigging, but like Clayton in Tarzan.
Yo! Well, that's my time.
Everyone. Well, that's my time.
That was Anna.
And it was so good to have you.
Yeah, you know, it's great being a guest.
I think, Sybin, you see this a little too late. And just sort of like, "Oh, child is falling, and your instincts aren't quick enough, but you are able to get wrapped up in the rigging, like all the rope that kind of like people can climb up, like traditional pirate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think you start to tumble down into it, like, "Oof, ah, oof." And then your foot catches you upside down, and you're like, "Ugh!" And like it's caught, like it physically hurts you. I think you're going to take another point of damage here because it's a failure. But you did not fall all the way down. If you fell all the way down, it would have been much more.
That's fair. Yeah. No. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
You know, falling star.
Nice. Nice.
That's somebody's going to see if you had caught her, you could have put her in your pocket.
Catch a falling star.
Yeah. I am going to put Eve back in the nest.
Yeah.
And then wave walk out to grab her on this rigging that I'm assuming acts like tree branches.
I think she's laughing.
Physically hurt and laughing.
Yeah.
Bruised rib.
Yeah.
Can I roll for that?
I think you just do it. Okay, I don't think you need to roll. You climb down, you grab her, you have her in your enemies, and just like bring her back to the nest.
Look at foot, make sure okay. Slight dislocate, try to replace.
Do you want to try to put it back in?
Yeah, what's that? Is that 10?
Yeah, that's 10.
Hey, we got this. Come on.
Come on, let's do it.
This is going to be iron intend to hold it in and...
All right, this could be a failure. Let's do it.
Don't worry. I'll reset it. No, I won't.
Oops. That was a three.
You reset the wrong foot.
I'm hermetic.
You know, this is probably a good thing, because I did have the gut reaction wanting her to run off and do it again, so.
I like what Sam said.
Wrong foot.
Pop it out, pop it back in the other one.
Human anatomy. Ardent anatomy. Not my strong suit.
You don't recognize what ardents look like
anymore.
Especially so legs.
The one that's messed up looks pretty normal to you. The other one that's...
Model your legs after his.
Yeah.
Yeah, the knee looks... both knees look like they're broken.
Oh, yeah. They're the wrong way.
So you go to, like, move the ankle on the other one. Another point of damage.
Yeah.
Both knees are broken. You, laughing it off.
What's the twist? What's the twist here?
Something good's gotta happen here. I don't know. What good thing can come of this?
Poor Anna. Anna's not even... Barely an hour in.
I know. Already 3 points down.
Hey, welcome to the club, pal.
I was 9 when I healed.
Yeah, but you're also tanky.
That's true.
Yeah, famously, I think most of you guys are old blood. Yeah. Like, you use that skill set. Mm-hmm. Anna used the new blood. She has significantly less aspects.
Right. Star is baby. I mean, she knew what a wishmaker was. Yeah.
Maybe the twist is, as she's being removed from the rigging, she finds something unexpected also caught in there. Like, something...
Ooh, yeah. I think we can do that. I think we're going to find a little bit of crystallized Krezerin. I think this is going to be very new to you. You find this, like, stone of amber clinging to, like, kind of like sap that's been hardened onto the rigging, like the rope of it. And I think, like, it's right there at your face, and you see it just kind of, like, hanging, crystallized form. It catches in the light, and you go, like, wow, neat thing, cool.
Oh, yeah. She collects rocks.
Yeah. This is the shiniest rock that you could find.
I immediately check myself for injuries, because I'm Krezerin-blooded.
No injuries here. Okay. No. But
you're fine.
I think this is what you get. As you're being manhandled and twisted, fixed, quote unquote, you were able to pocket as a resource, petrified Krezerin. Yeah, you've got that. Both of your ankles are twisted. You're placed back on the crow's nest. Sybin goes, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I think she's feeling the pain at this point.
Oh, no.
And she's not exactly, I think she's like leaning over the side and isn't really sure how she's going to get back down.
Do you need something for the pain?
Eve steps in and goes, don't, please don't. Let me handle this. I've got this. You twisted her ankle. What were you doing?
I must have done something wrong.
Hey, no, it was nothing you did.
Well, I mean, he sprayed me with spores before, so...
You sprayed her with spores, Sybin? No,
it wasn't intentional. She was following me, talking about...
Sybin?
We were just having a conversation.
Sybin, that is not how we treat children. We do not spore people when we meet them.
But when you're scared, you spore.
When you're scared, you've got to assess the situation and then react accordingly.
But what if you can't remove yourself from the situation?
You're real smart.
Eve looks to you, says, just be careful with him. He lets out spores.
Yeah, I noticed.
I'm sure he's very sorry for what he did.
I mean, I'm sorry. I must have done something wrong.
I'll go below the decks. I'm sorry.
No, Simon, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm getting really worked up about what's all that happened. It was very scary. And I don't want you to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody to be hurt. And I think in this moment, I think she, like, takes some stuff out of her pockets or like, searches for something and goes to try to do something about your ankles. And is like, oh, shit, all my stuff's down at the med bay.
I can get it.
Carry her back down. That's what you need to do. I'll take care of this.
Okay.
Star, it was very nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are your ankles okay?
No.
Okay.
It hurts, but I probably, did something. So.
I don't think you did something. I think you did rush off.
Yeah.
I don't think you should do that again.
I mean, you did it. It looked like fun. I think she's like really attaching herself mentally to Eve, and is sort of like seeing them as this like icon, this being to follow.
And Eve, like, that clicks in her mind, just kind of like, oh no, you shouldn't. And Eve just kind of goes like, I have to go check in on some things. I'll check in with you in a little bit.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Okay. Simon, it's really good to see you again.
You too.
From what I was told by everybody, I think our friend should be recovering soon.
More friends?
I'll go down to the med bay with this one and check on them.
I didn't... And she kind of leans in and she goes, I didn't see Vanek.
Vanek. Oh, Luca's brother.
I think she looks at you with a straight face. Completely disregards like what you're saying, like knows the implication of what it is. And I think she like earnestly like lets you process that. Like doesn't take it as a like a joke or anything like that.
It's not.
I know. And I think she meets you earnestly and is like, what?
We can ask the Anchored.
Okay. I'll ask them.
But he's a slippery one. I'm sure he got out.
I think so, too. I think you're right. Okay. Did you see what happened?
I was nowhere near any of you.
Okay. I'm going to have to talk. I want to talk to you about that.
You know stuff about my past.
I do.
We'll talk soon.
We'll talk soon.
But first, and then these anemone arms wrap around you and, like, hold you at the top of the shell.
I think she has very mixed feelings about this. Is both, like, this is really fascinating. This has never happened before.
And they're, like, kind of strong for what they are. Like, you wouldn't expect them to be able to hold your weight with just four or five of them.
Mm-hmm.
You are able to safely climb back down with Star above you. And you see that boat down at the bottom is, like, growling at you as, like, you hold Star, but you gently place it back on Bear. And Bear's like, rrr, rrr, rrr. And then you get placed back on, and you just kind of waddles away across the deck.
Yeah, I imagine when you put her down, it's like she's just, like, stomach down on boat. Just like both, like her arms and her legs just sort of like straddled across.
Yeah.
No painkillers, Eve said.
Eve said. Perfect. I think with that, you go below deck, you go to the healing dock, get rid of all your mires, or get rid of all that health, or that damage. Yeah.
Get rid of all your that health.
You're dead.
You're dead now.
Doc once looks again at you and says, I got just a solution.
That's not no.
That's what they did to the gal. Child. Welcome to the Anchored crew, baby.
To the Anchored.
Good news is I can make sure the pain goes away.
I think the rest of the day kind of passes without any other interactions. So the day passes without any events. The next day, the captain comes up to you, Simon, and informs you that your friends are awake and well and are ready to see you.
Good.
You knock on the door, you enter. And we'll pick back up here on our next episode.